मुख्यमर्जुनस्य आदौ कुर्वन् गीताम्रतं ददौ लोकत्रयोपकाराय तस्मै कृष्णात्मने नमः। हरे कृष्णा, वेलकम बैक टू आवर भक्ति शास्त्री भगवीता कोर्स। वी आर इन द कंक्लूडिंग सेक्शन ऑफ द फोर्थ चैप्टर। कृष्णा हैज टॉक्ड अबाउट वेरियस फॉर्म्स ऑफ यज्ञ बाय विच वन कैन एक्वायर नॉलेज, एंड नाउ ही विल टॉक अबाउट how ultimately the knowledge gives us various glorious fruits. So let us look at these fruits of knowledge. So we'll look at this first. We'll look at the overview of the fourth chapter. So here we have, there are five sections in the fourth chapter. We have discussed four of those sections. The first section is Krishna teaches and establishes dharma. So he teaches Imam Vivasvate Yogam, establishes Dharma Samsthapana Arthaya Sambhavami Yoga Yoga. Then dharma involves various paths. So Krishna is the goal of all those paths and he is the creator of also of those paths. Then Krishna is recommending that the dharma that Arjuna follow is Karma Yoga. Because Karma Yoga will eventually lead to liberation, as has been done by many people in the past. So then Krishna says, how while acting one will get liberation? That is because one acts in yajna. So when we act in sacrifice, that sacrifice leads to development of knowledge, to jnana. So the section 25 to 33 is achieving jnana through sacrifices. So connection between the third and the fourth section is that karma yoga itself is one way to develop jnana. And in general, there are various ways by which various yajnas by which one can develop jnana. So yajnaya acharatah karma. Krishna had told in 23rd verse that act for yajna. So now, after describing how jnana can be acquired in various ways, now in the last section 34 to 42, Krishna, now which of these ways should one follow? That one has to inquire from a spiritual master. So by going to a spiritual master, we acquire transcendental knowledge. So now, this last section will talk about how to acquire transcendental knowledge and what the results of that transcendental knowledge are. So let's begin with the 34th verse. It's a well-known verse which Srila Prabhupada would frequently quote. Tat vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanas tattva darshinah. So tad vidhi, that knowledge. Tad refers to that. What is that? What was talked about in the previous verse, 4.33 verse? Jnane parisamapyate. So that all knowledge, all five forms of yajna, sarvam karma akhilam partha jnane parisamapyate, that all kind of work that is done and all the sacrifices that are involved in that work, they all culminate in knowledge. So how one can acquire knowledge? Tadvidhi. You can know it by three things. Pranipatena, pariprashnena, sevaya. Pranipatena is submission. Pariprashnena is inquisitiveness, and sevaya is service attitude. So then, upadekshanti. So upadekshanti is related with upadesh, to give instruction. So Prabhupada says they will initiate you. Te jnanam. They will initiate you into that knowledge. Upadekshanti te jnanam. Jnaninas tattvadarshinaha. Tattvadarshinaha is those who are the seers of truth. So because the focus here is on jnana, so Krishna doesn't talk about bhakta. He doesn't say bhakti naam. He says jnaninas. Why? Because Krishna will later on say how all jnana culminates in bhakti. Jnanamana maam prapadyate, he will explain in 7.19. At this stage, Krishna has not introduced bhakti directly. So he is focusing on jnaninas. He is focusing on how karma yoga will lead to jnana. And that jnana, when it's developed, it will lead to liberation. So how one gets that in jnana? By going to a spiritual master. And if you want jnana, then the spiritual master should have jnana. That's why jnaninas. Now, interestingly, if we remember from the third chapter, when Krishna is talking about how lust covers the living entity's intelligence, so at that time, he says in 3.39, avrutam jnanam etena jnanino nitya vairina. So, he describes all living entities to be jnanina. So all of us are Satchitananda as souls. All of us are jnanis. We all have knowledge. But currently our knowledge is covered. The spiritual master is a person who has been able to uncover that conditioning, remove that conditioning that is there, and therefore has become jnaninas. So the soul is by nature jnani, but because of the covering of lust, avratam jnanam, the soul becomes like ajnani. But the spiritual master is one who has removed the covering. Jnaninas tattvadarshinaha. So because the spiritual master jnani, spiritual master has seen the truth, tattvadarshi, has seen the truth. So after seeing the truth, he can explain the truth to us. Now let us look at this verse a little bit more in detail, especially three things that we have to do: pranipatena, pariprashnena, and sevaya. So I write daily articles in the Bhagavad Gita as a part of the Gita daily. So here there's an article on this theme of 4.34. So the title is Tap His Grace by Humbleness, Inquisitiveness, and Service-Mindedness. So His Grace is Krishna's grace, and humbleness is pranipatena, inquisitiveness is pariprashnena, and service-mindedness is sevaya. So tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. So the spiritual master is like a coach for us. The spiritual master is a coach. Coach means that the spiritual master gives us guidance on how we can advance in spiritual life. So what is humbleness? Humbleness means to admit that I don't know the way. Pranipatena. Why should we go down and bow? Pranipata means to actually offer obeisances, to bow down, fall down. So as we can't discern the internal landscape, we need indispensably an attitude of humbleness. I don't know the way. You do. Please be my guide. So actually spiritual journey is essentially an inner journey. We want to move inwards. You know, the soul is inside. We are the soul, but we are not aware that we are the soul. So we direct our consciousness inwards and realize that we are the soul. And after that, we have to realize that the soul is eternally connected with Krishna. And there is Krishna inside also. So we have to make an inner journey. But we can't see things inside. So therefore, we need to know the way. So the spiritual master knows the way, and the spiritual master provides us the way. So humbleness. So just as when we go to a doctor, we are humble. You know, I'm sick. I don't know what is the cause of sickness. You know, please, I have come to tell you. So actually, if a patient imagines that I know better than the doctor, the patient cannot be treated by the doctor. So humbleness is required. And humbleness alone is not enough. I just fall in front of the spiritual master. Yes. But I have to inquire. You know, what is wrong? So as Sanatana Goswami inquired, why am I suffering from the threefold miseries of material existence? This is something which is a vital inquiry for everyone. And that is inquisitiveness. So, this injunction of the Gita indicates that it calls not for blind faith in the name of humbleness, but for a development of our capacity for spiritual perception. By this perception, we start seeing for ourselves what the Guru is seeing. This means, when we inquire from the spiritual master, we gradually, by inquiry, we develop Jnana Chakshu. We develop our capacity for spiritual perception. We start perceiving the spiritual realm. Doesn't mean suddenly we start seeing Satchitananda Atma everywhere. That will happen eventually when we develop spiritual vision also. But we develop the capacity for deep thinking. And deep thinking also leads to deeper observations. So we can see this world, how the promises of this world are false. And how we can see basically in the world the truths of the Gita being demonstrated. And we start seeing for ourselves what the Guru is saying. So, after humbleness, there's inquisitiveness. So, the spiritual master tells us this world is a place of misery. But then, I see there are so many advertisements. In the advertisements, all people are smiling, all people are laughing. In the movies, people are laughing. And all the novels have happy endings. So, yes, this world is a place of happiness. That's what the world seems to tell us. Then gradually, we start seeing beyond the surface. I look in the roads, we see the advertisements, people are smiling. But look down on the roads, everybody is sulking, frowning, scowling. So where are actually people happy? In real life, few people, if any, are happy. And even if they are happy, that's for a short time. This world is actually dukkhalayam. So we start seeing for ourselves what the Guru is seeing. That happens by inquisitiveness. So humbleness is definitely important so that we can learn. But humbleness alone is not enough. Humbleness is a launching pad for learning, for developing our own spiritual vision. And now it's good to admit that we don't know, and then to get to know. Doctor, I don't know what's wrong with me. Doctor, please tell me, what is my sickness? After that, the important thing is to take the medicine. If we don't take the medicine, even if we know in exhaustive detail the diagnosis that we are of the disease that we are suffering from, still this knowledge doesn't cure us. There has to be taking of the prescription, application. So that is, that application essentially is sevaya, service-mindedness. The destination of our spiritual journey is the realization that loving service to Krishna is our only source of lasting fulfillment. We progress toward that realization by serving Krishna as per the Guru's instructions. So, when we... what is the ultimate realization that we need? I am not the body, I am the soul. That Krishna is God. Yes, all these are important realizations. The most transformational realization of our life will be that Krishna and Krishna alone is the source of the best enjoyment. Everything else that promises enjoyment will ultimately lead to suffering. Service to Krishna will grant me greater and better fulfillment than anything else in this world. Once we get this realization, once we get this conviction, then the temptations of this world will no longer allure us. And how do we get this? By actually living according to it. So we may not feel so much satisfaction in loving Krishna right now, but if we keep serving Krishna, with as much of an affectionate attitude, devotional attitude that we can have, then gradually by this, we will develop our affection for Krishna, and we will get realization also that we get greater happiness in serving Krishna than anything else. So now, to summarize, His grace, this works in three progressive steps. What is? Humbleness enables the Guru to show us the way. Inquisitiveness enables us to start seeing the way ourselves. And service-mindedness enables us to move along the way. There are three steps. By humbleness, if I am not humble, then the Guru cannot show me only what is the way. So I am humble. I don't know. Please tell me. Humbleness enables the Guru to show us the way. Inquisitiveness enables us to start seeing the way ourselves, to internalize what the Guru is telling us. And service-mindedness, we actually start moving. So Guru tells us, you are not the body of the soul. The soul is servant of Krishna. Inquisitiveness helps us to understand this more, and then acting on this spiritual devotional platform of serving Krishna moves us towards becoming reinstated in our eternal spiritual position. So in this way, Krishna, tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. By these three, we get the spiritual knowledge. So, let's look at Srila Prabhupada's purport also. So, Prabhupada starts by telling, the path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. Undoubtedly difficult. Why? Normally we say bhakti is easy to perform. Yes, but in general, bhakti is the easiest among the various spiritual paths. And the spiritual paths in general are difficult. So, why are they difficult? Because we have to fight our inner demons. We have to fight against lust, anger, greed, envy, pride and illusion. And they are formidable forces which want to keep us enslaved so that we keep serving them life after life after life. So therefore we need the guidance of a guru. And Prabhupada explains that mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help one lead to the right path, nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. So these can give us some preliminary knowledge. We can read books, we can think for ourselves, all this is. It can be a slight movement along the right path. But if we want serious progress on the right path, then we need a spiritual master. Now, what exactly... So Prabhupada now significantly makes the point that actually the spiritual master tests the disciple to see if the disciple is sincere, disciple is serious. And the disciple is serious, then the spiritual master accepts. So in Krishna consciousness, the testing is standardized in terms of, say, of chanting 16 rounds and following 4 regulative principles for 1 year or whatever. The period may be depending on one's spiritual master, but 1 year is generally the standard minimum. And then like that, the spiritual master is testing the disciple. And the disciple also needs to test the spiritual master. In today's society, there are so many people who claim to be spiritual masters. And one has to be able to test who is the bona fide spiritual master. And by that, one moves forward. Then, now, what exactly is the spiritual master's role? The spiritual master actually is enabling us to turn towards Krishna. How? through his own example and through his connection with Krishna. So the parampara, the spiritual master has to come in parampara. Then we are not going to go into all the qualifications, but this chapter itself talked earlier in 4.2 of evam parampara praptam. The spiritual master's very defining qualification is that in parampara. So now parampara is not just a link of head. A link not just of head, but a link of hearts. What does it mean? Link of hearts? Actually, it is not that. If you look at Srila Prabhupada's books and we look at Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's books, if you'll see that there's a world of difference. Not in content, but in presentation, in style, in manner of approach. Prabhupada is a distinct individual. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur is a distinct individual. So it's not that the disciple is going to repeat verbatim as it is, like a robo or like a recorder. Whatever one has heard, just repeats it. That can also be done in certain situations where it is required. But the important point is that that is not what defines a spiritual master. The spiritual master lives the principles that are taught in scriptures. And then when the disciple sees how the spiritual master is living according to the principles of selfless sacrifice, then the disciple gets inspired. When the disciple gets inspired to live according to the same principles, then what happens is the principle of selfless devotion that is present in the heart of the spiritual master, that gets transferred to the heart of the disciple. And when it gets transferred to the heart of the disciple, then their hearts get linked. So the parampara is a link of hearts. Hearts linked together in the principle of selfless devotion. So then when the disciple becomes thus inspired and exalted, then the disciple will become a spiritual master. And that spiritual master example will inspire prospective disciples who will also become inspired and transformed and elevated by the principle of selfless devotion. Selfless devotion here is Bhakti Devi, Bhaktiya. So Bhakti is what links the disciplic succession. The parampara is a link of hearts. It's a link of hearts based on the principle of Bhakti, selfless devotion. And then, what does the parampara do? Actually, the connection with parampara, piety transforms into spirituality when there is a connection to the guru and a commitment to the process. So many people may have piety. Piety means they may have some belief in being good, do good. We should not be sinful. We should not be immoral. We should not be doing illegal, illicit activities. So that piety is there. Piety is good. But piety in and of itself is not spirituality. Piety is in goodness. Impiety can be in the lower modes, passion, ignorance. Piety is in goodness. But spirituality is above, it's transcendental. So piety transforms into spirituality when there is a connection to the guru. Connection to the guru and a commitment to the process. There's a connection to the guru and a commitment to the process. One becomes connected with the spiritual master, and after that connection, one commits oneself. Yes, I am going to serve my spiritual master. And that commitment is to Advidhi Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sevaya. Then by that one becomes purified and one becomes spiritually conscious, spiritually advanced. So now some people say that actually, you know, I have a direct relationship with God. I want to have a direct relationship with God. Why should a guru come in between me and God? I don't want anyone between me and God. So actually, what is the guru's role? The guru doesn't come in between us and God, but he removes what is between us and God. That is the wall of our own false ego. The wall of our own misconceptions and misconceived desires. So what is this? Actually, the soul is here. Krishna is here. The two are neighbors. There is a famous verse which talks about two birds in the tree. So the soul and the super soul are right next to each other in the heart. But there is a wall. The wall is of misconception. The soul thinks that I am an independent living being. I am the body and I can enjoy at the body level. And based on that misconceptions, there are misconceived desires, misdirected desires. And those misdirected desires take the soul's consciousness away from Krishna. So what does the spiritual master do? The spiritual master gives the disciple the knowledge and the process by which that wall can be broken down. Gives knowledge by which the misconceptions are shattered. Yes, I am a part of Krishna. I am meant to love and serve Krishna. And also, the misdirected desires which take the soul's consciousness away from Krishna. The Guru gives the principle of chanting of the holy names, the remembrance of Krishna, which purifies and redirects our desires away from the world and back towards Krishna. In this way, the wall breaks. The Guru doesn't come between us and the desire and Krishna. He removes what is between us and Krishna. And not only that, what does the spiritual master do? The spiritual master ultimately connects us with Krishna. So without the spiritual master, we will not know what is authentic bhakti. Therefore, spiritual master is essential. And some people say that, I don't need a guru. I am my own guru. So, he who is his own guru has a fool as a disciple. So he who is his own guru, if I am my own guru, then who is my disciple? It's a fool. So I am my own disciple also. Then I am a fool basically. Why? Because we can't change ourselves. We can't cure ourselves by our own efforts. So Krishna is there in our heart, but Krishna loves his devotees. Somebody may ask, can't Krishna make himself accessible directly? If Krishna loves me, why does Krishna want me to go to a guru? Krishna can reveal himself to me directly. Why can't Krishna do that? See, Krishna can do anything. This is not a matter question of what Krishna can do. This is a matter of what Krishna wants us to do. Krishna is telling us in the Bhagavad Gita here itself, a very categorical one. Tadvidhi. Know this by going to a spiritual master. So, now, Krishna loves us. Krishna loves all living beings. But at the same time, Krishna is reciprocal. So, Krishna loves all the more. Krishna loves especially those who love him. So, now Krishna wants to glorify those devotees who have sacrificed everything in this world for his sake. Those who have focused on pure devotion to him. Those who sacrifice the things of this world for his sake. So, when Krishna wants to do this, he wants to offer things of this world to give up. So, Krishna wants to reward these devotees. Of course, the ultimate reward that he is going to give them is the inner reward, the flood of love of Krishna that he is going to give them. And ultimately, the spiritual reward, taking them back to the spiritual world. But along with that, Krishna wants them to reward them in this world also. But the devotees don't want anything of this world. The devotees are actually free from attachment to things of this world. When the devotees don't want anything of this world, then if they are free from the attachment to the things of this world, how can Krishna glorify them in this world also? How can Krishna reward them in this world also? Krishna rewards them by granting them the authority over the way out of this world. The world is a place of misery. And the most precious thing in this world is the way out of this world. Just like in a jail, what is the most precious thing? In a jail, there is no secret treasure buried somewhere. In a jail, actually, there doesn't contain anything precious. The most precious thing in the jail is the key for the door. Out of the jail, isn't it? So, this material world is like a jail. It is called Durga. Durga is a prison. And Durga Devi is the presiding deity of this prison. So, she keeps the living entities trapped in material existence and her three prongs, Trividatap. They inflict the conditioned souls with the threefold miseries. And the purpose of these threefold miseries is, they are telling Krishna, go back to Krishna, go back to Krishna, go back to Krishna, go back to Krishna. So the purpose of these threefold miseries is not to make the person suffer, but to make the person reform. So the idea, so in this world, which is like a prison, the most important thing is how to get out of the world. And that knowledge is the most precious thing. And Krishna gives those devotees who have offered their everything to him, he gives them authority over this. He says, you, my devotees, you will become the distributors of this knowledge to everyone. So without becoming submissive to the devotees, this knowledge doesn't arise in our heart. We may theoretically understand it, but we will not transformationally understand it. A theoretical knowledge will not lead to transformation. It will not lead to redirection of our heart's love from the things of this world to Krishna. For that to happen, we need to serve a spiritual master and get bhakti from that spiritual master. So essentially, when Krishna is saying that go to spiritual master, Krishna can do anything. Krishna can reveal himself to us directly also. But we have to understand that Krishna is in loving reciprocation with his devotees. And he wants to glorify his devotees in this world also. So those who want to come out of this world, Krishna gives them, tells those devotees, you glorify those prospective devotees, you surrender to my exalted devotees. You become submissive to them. By being submissive to them, you will be able to find your way out of this material existence. So you will understand. So you will get this knowledge by surrendering to the spiritual master. And the spiritual master is very compassionate, is very kind, is very caring, and the spiritual master helps the soul to come out of material existence. So some people say that, so and so, that there is no need to go to any guru. Those who say like this, basically they are saying, I am a guru and I am telling you don't go to any guru. So even when somebody says don't go to any guru, basically even if we follow them, what are we doing? We are accepting that person as a guru. So we have to follow someone. We just cannot live by rejecting everyone. Even if we say, I reject everyone. Somebody told us to reject everyone. So we are following that person who told us to reject everyone. So we have to follow someone. The Vedic scriptures say rather than resenting and rejecting the principle of following someone, rather redirect that principle based on knowledge. So understand whom we should follow. Choose the right authority. And then by that we will be able to become purified, enlightened and liberated. So that's now next verse we'll talk about what is the effect of knowing about Guru. So when we come to know about the Guru, what happens? When we come to know about the spiritual master, that knowledge liberates us. So first Krishna will describe the next verse. What are the results of this knowledge? So we'll look at this. Vijñātvā na punarmoham. Evam yasyasi pandava yena bhutanya sheshani rakshasya atmanya thomai. So yajnyatva, after you know this, na punar moham, again no more illusion. Evam yasyasi pandava, pandava is Arjuna, evam yasyasi, that means as you are in illusion right now, you will not go into illusion again. Na punar moham, you will not go into illusion. What will happen? Yena bhutanya sheshani. By this knowledge, so what is the characteristic of being free from illusion? Bhutanya sheshani. All living beings, without exception. Shesha is remaining. Ashesha means nothing remaining. Bhutanya sheshani. All living beings without exception. What will happen about them? Drakshasi. Drakshasi means to see. How will we see them? Atmanya thomai. So, you will see them as spiritual. In fact, you will see them as mine. So this is the first verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna talks about his relationship with the living entities. In the second chapter when Krishna talks about the soul, he doesn't explicitly tell what is the relationship of the soul with the Supreme Soul. And he does mention that fix the mind on me, offer your work to me. He has told that in 2.61, then he has told in 3.30. He has said have faith in me. But till now he has not explicitly stated what is our relationship with him eternally. So Krishna says then, what do those people who are free from illusion, they see? They see all living beings, Atmani, as spiritual, as being situated on the spiritual platform. And what is spiritual? They are mine. They belong to me. So what is the meaning of this verse in the Bhagavata's context? Krishna is telling Arjuna that don't think that you alone are concerned about Bhishma and Drona and all the warriors assembled on this battlefield. I am concerned about them. They are all mine. They are all my parts and parcels. They are all my children. I am concerned about them. Whatever I am telling you to do, that is ultimately for their best. So don't see them with this illusory vision that this is my grandfather, this is my uncle, this is my cousin, this is my brother. Don't see this way. This is one way of seeing it, but actually, these are temporary relationships. They are all eternally souls, and the souls have eternal relationship with Krishna. So, they are mine. So, Krishna, so what happens by this? When Krishna is telling, when we acquire knowledge, there is, firstly, freedom from illusion. So, the two results of jnana are, there is no more illusion again. Na punar moham, Krishna says. And we see all living beings as in Krishna and Krishna's. So freedom from illusion and acquisition of spiritual vision. These two are the results of acquiring jnana. So now many people may say, I have my own guru. But we have to see what is the result, what is the life actually. Are they free from illusion? Are they still caught in the attachments of this world, hoping that worldly things will make them happy? Are they still filled with the mentality of, you know, simoho yamaham mamehiti, I and mine? If that is the case, then they have actually not internalized the knowledge the spiritual master has given. So of course this is progression, and most disciples, they are still seekers. So they may not have internalized this very high degree, but at least some change should be there. You know, a devotee who is initiated by a spiritual master and is seriously practicing, that devotee's life will be significantly different from the life of general people, even general pious people. Devotee's life will be different because the devotee's life is centered on Krishna. Now, after describing this ultimate result, freedom from illusion and acquisition of spiritual vision, then Krishna will describe how this happens. He'll give some examples to illustrate how this change takes place. So, Prabhupada explains interestingly that here, Atmanyathomai, he explains that actually the sense of an existence separate from Krishna is called Maya. So when we see Mai, then that means you are becoming free from Maya. When we see everything as connected with Krishna, then we become free from Maya. So actually Prabhupada says even the millions of incarnations are only different expansions. So not only should we not see the things of this world separate from Krishna, but even the various incarnations, they should not be seen separate from Krishna. They are also parts of Krishna. So this unified vision of all of reality as being connected to Krishna, that is the result of spiritual knowledge. And then, now Prabhupada explains further that such bodily differences arise from forgetfulness of the transcendental service of the Lord. Bodily differences means, I am a man, I am a woman, I am this, I am that. They arise from forgetfulness. And when it's engaged in transcendental service through Krishna consciousness, one becomes at once liberated from illusion. And what is the ultimate liberation? This is a well-known verse that Srila Prabhupada would often quote, that he would say that, this is Bhagavatam 2.10.6, Muktir hitva anyatha rupam swarupena vyavasthiti. Muktir means anyatha rupam. Whatever form is there, one gives it up. And so anyatha rupa versus swarupa. Anyatha rupa means other forms. Swarupa is our eternal form, original form. Our own form. Swa means my. So swarupena vyavasthiti. Vyavasthiti means to be situated. So currently different living beings have forms of males, females, Indians, Americans, human beings, demigods, non-human beings. These are hitva anyatha rupam. So one gives up all these other forms. And when attains mukti, what happens? Swarupena vyavasthiti. One becomes situated in one's swarupa. That is actually liberation. So now Krishna will describe the process by which this happens. So he will give he says that this is such an exalted process that anybody and everybody can become purified and liberated, no matter how sinful the person is. Apichedasi papebhya sarvebhya papakrittamaha sarvam jnana plavenaiva prajinam santarishyasi. So apichedasi papebhya. So papebhya means, so among the sinners, sarvebhya papakrittamaha, among all the sinners. So krittamaha is it is superlative degree, it is the highest superlative degree. So it refers to the most sinful person, papakrittamaha. So sarvam, if all such people, jnana plavenaiva, plavena means boat. If somebody becomes situated in the boat, which boat? The boat of transcendental knowledge. Vrijinam santarishyasi. Vrijinam refers to the ocean of miseries, which is material existence. Santarishyasi. One will cross completely. One will go beyond this. So, what Krishna is telling essentially is that this knowledge can purify anyone and everyone. So, how does it work? How does this knowledge work? Now, actually, what is important is not where we are. What is important is where we are looking. What is the difference between the two? Where we are and where we are looking. So, that means, hey, this is ignorance, passion, goodness, and this is transcendence. Now, if we see many Indians at the time of Srila Prabhupada, the traditional pious culture was still there. So many Indians were living lives in goodness. So they were, in that sense, they were close to Krishna. From goodness to Krishna is relatively closer as compared to ignorance. But they were looking away. They were looking towards the West. The West is largely in passion and ignorance. So they were in goodness, but they were looking away. So where we are is not as important as where we are looking. If we are looking towards materialism, towards sensuality, towards the hope and the hype of enjoyment in this world, then that's where we will go and we will be dragged away from Krishna. So now, on the other hand, if we look at the early disciples of Srila Prabhupada, many of them were hippies. So those hippies, they were actually in the mode of ignorance. They were breaking the regulative principles. As we discussed, their only regulative principle was to break all the regulative principles. And then they were also having no knowledge of spiritual life. But still, they were done with material enjoyment. And they were looking for something higher in life. So, they were born and brought up in a passionate culture. And they had got fed up with their passionate culture. And they were, in the hope of rising higher, they had been misled into drugs and they were going downwards. But although they were going downwards, they were looking upwards. They were hoping that through drugs they will go up. They are not going up, they are hoping to go. So, they were in ignorance, but where were they looking? They were looking towards spirituality. And because of many spiritual teachers who in the past had gone from India to America, they were intrigued by Indian spirituality. And when Srila Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness, they became fascinated by it and they took it up. And they became very swiftly they progressed and they became exalted devotees. So, the point here is that actually, if somebody decides to become situated in the world of transcendental knowledge, no matter how sinful that person is, that person can get elevated. So now, this verse presents a logical paradox. The principle we understand that anybody can get elevated, and if the person wants to get elevated. But logical paradox is that if somebody is sinful, how can that person be knowledgeable? I mean, how can that person get aboard the boat of transcendental knowledge? So, normally speaking, if we say a person knowledgeable, that person will not be sinful. If a person is sinful, that person will not be knowledgeable. Here Krishna is talking about a person who is the most sinful among all sinful people. So, how can such a person ever board the boat of transcendental knowledge? So, the Acharyas explain, at one level we understand this is rhetorical. It's not that the sinful people will be knowledgeable or knowledgeable people will be sinful. But it's a rhetorical glorification that actually this knowledge is so powerful that even if a person be sinful, that person will get elevated. That person just chooses to live according to it, understand this knowledge and live according to it. So, from the practical point of view, that rhetorical glorification actually becomes real also. How? By the mercy, by the intervening mercy of the spiritual master. So, the spiritual master mercy goes to conditioned souls. Even if they are sinful, you know, and they somehow become attracted to the process of Krishna consciousness, then that can elevate them. So, from the point of view of karma yoga and jnana being acquired by a karma yogi, this is a rhetorical verse. But from the point of view of bhakti yoga, which is what Krishna Bhagavad Gita is ultimately leading to, so any person can get elevated. That is the glory of the boat of transcendental knowledge. So, the boat, Krishna is using the word boat for knowledge over here. Normally, we use the word boat for many cases. We sometimes use it for the boat of the lotus feet of Krishna, or we use the boat of the human body also. So, these are all true. The important point is that the boat enables us to go out of the ocean. And just having the human body alone is not enough to go out of the ocean. We have to direct the human body, use the human body for the right purpose. That is, direct the boat in the right direction. And that directing of the boat in the right direction happens with the transcendental knowledge. So, in different contexts, the boat may be referred to as different things. It may be referred to human body, or it may be referred here to transcendental knowledge. The point is that the boat is essential when we want to come out of the ocean. So, the first level is we need to have human form to understand spirituality. But after human form we have, then we need transcendental knowledge in that human form. So Krishna is talking about that over here. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that if somebody is trapped in the ocean, the person may keep swimming, swimming. How long can the person swim? But if a boat comes along and somebody comes and places the person in the boat, then that person can cross through that ocean. So the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is the boat that Srila Prabhupada has brought in our lives. And all of us can come aboard that boat. And by coming aboard that boat, we can march back towards, we can go back towards Krishna. So all that we have to do is, now we are come in the boat, not jump out of the boat. Even if there are difficulties, even if there are conflicts, even if there are disasters, actually being in the boat is always safer than being in the ocean. So like that, being in the association of devotees and practicing Krishna consciousness is the safest way for us to return back to Krishna. So this is what Krishna is saying, that this boat can liberate anyone. Now Krishna gives one more example to illustrate how this transcendental knowledge purifies and liberates. Yathai dhamsi samito agnir basmasat kurute arjuna jnana agni sarva karmani basmasat kurute tatha. So yathai dhamsi samito agnir. So edhamsi refers to firewood. Samidha is burning. Agni is fire. So when firewood is comes in contact with burning fire, then what happens? Basmasat kurute arjuna. Arjuna, it all becomes burned to ashes. Similarly, jnana agni, the fire of knowledge, sarva karmani, all kinds of work that one is doing, basmasat kurute tatha, it all gets burned down. So here Krishna is referring to how a person doesn't get karmically bound. We discussed earlier, Krishna has talked about it. In this, Krishna has used the word jnana agni earlier in the same chapter in 4.19. He has said, yasya sarve samarambha kama sankalpa varjita jnana agnidagda karmanam tamahu panditam budhaha. So he has said that jnana agnidagda karmanam, the person whose karma is burned down by the fire of knowledge. It's the same point Krishna is telling over here, but here the point is that this person who acquires jnana from the spiritual master, that jnana becomes like a fire, inner fire. And that fire burns everything away, burns everything away. Jnana agni sarva karmani basmasat. It burns all the sinful reactions. So all the karma that we do is like seed. When a seed is burnt, then it doesn't give any results. So now, the two examples convey two points progressively. The first is that, okay, there is an ocean, but we get out of the ocean. So like that, material world is a place of misery, and spiritual knowledge offers us a way to go out of the material existence. Second one talks about how what is inside us, that is, our own anarthas are there, our own bad karma is there, its reactions are stored also in bija and other forms. So they also get burned out. So when one goes out of the ocean, the water still remains in the ocean, but we come out. But this example of the wood and fire, it conveys that actually the firewood itself gets burned completely. So like that, the karma gets destroyed. And the karma gets destroyed, that is supremely auspicious. So now there are, Prabhupada talks about the stages of karmic reactions that we'll discuss in the 9th chapter. But the point is that they're all burned away, as Prabhupada quotes over here. He quotes from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Ubhe uhai vaisha ete taratya amrutta sadhva asadhuni. So taratya is crosses over, overcomes. What? Sadhva asadhuni. One overcomes the good and the bad reactions. Sadhva is good, asadhva is bad. So all auspicious and inauspicious activities, whatever we have done, we become free from them. That means there is no good karmic bondage also. That means one doesn't have to come back in goodness. Spiritual knowledge takes us beyond to transcendence. Now Krishna will conclude this glorification of the knowledge by talking about its purity and its potency. Nahi jnane na sadrusham pavitramiha vidyate tat swayam yoga samsiddha kalenaatmani vindati. So he's saying here, nahi jnanena sadrusham. Sadrusham is like, there is nothing like knowledge. Pavitra meha vidyate. There is nothing as purifying as transcendental knowledge. And tat swayam yoga samsiddha. So when one becomes situated in yoga, when one becomes matured, samsiddha means perfected or matured in yoga, then what happens? Kalen atmani vindati. One, actually, over a period of time, kalena atmani vindati. One delights in oneself. One delights in oneself. So, Krishna is telling over here, you have two examples. First is of the boat and the second is of fire. Now he's giving it generic principles over here after the specific examples. He's telling there's nothing as pure as transcendental knowledge. Nahi jnanena sadrusham. So what is this knowledge referring to? This knowledge is a knowledge of the Atma and ultimately the connection of the Atma with the Paramatma. So what this knowledge is? That Krishna has not explicitly told. He has told what the knowledge is in terms of its result. He has told that one becomes free from illusion, one sees all living beings connected with him. Krishna will talk about his knowledge more in 7th chapter, in 9th chapter. 7th chapter is his knowledge of the absolute. The 9th chapter is the most confidential knowledge. So Krishna will talk about this more and more. So this knowledge, Krishna is glorifying in general the knowledge that one acquires by the practice of spirituality, by practicing the process that one, the spiritual master, gives us. But he's telling over here the principle that pavitra miha vidyate, nothing as pure as this. Krishna will talk about this again in the 9th chapter. This is 9th chapter to glorify this knowledge. Raja vidya raja guhyam. This is the king among all knowledge. So here also Krishna is telling superlative, nothing as pure as this. And the second part is significant. Tat swayam yoga samsiddha. That when one becomes accomplished in this, then atmani vindati, one delights within oneself. Kalena, over a period of time, one starts delighting within oneself. So how does this delighting in self happen? It happens because the soul is by nature joyful, and the soul's joyfulness can naturally be experienced when one is connected with Krishna. So kalena, over a period of time, as we keep practicing devotional service, we start becoming aware of our own spiritual identity and of our devotional activity in connection with Krishna. And as we become more and more connected with Krishna, naturally we feel joyful. So Prabhupada explains in the world that when one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere, for he enjoys peace in himself. He enjoys peace within himself. Normally, if we look within, our mind is just an agitated mess. I want this, I want that, I want that. But when we discuss how internal doesn't mean mental, internal means spiritual. So when we can calm the mind down, then we can see deeper inside. It's like there is a river, and below the river there is a river bed. So when the river is restless, not the river, say a pond. When the pond is restless, so at that time, we can't see what is at the surface, at the bottom of the pond. But when the pond becomes calm, then we can see what is at the bottom. Similarly, when we are in an impure stage, so at that time our mind is restless. And because the mind is restless, so we are like the person outside, that is the gross bodily consciousness. And then the water in the pond is like the subtle material level, the mental level. And below that is the spiritual level, that is the bottom of the pond. So when the mind is agitated, then it's like the surface, the water in the pond is shaking, is restless, there are ripples in it. Then we can't see what is below. But by the process of yoga, what happens is, tat swayam yoga samsiddha. By the practice of yoga, when we gradually become accomplished, then the mind becomes calm. The mind becomes calm. It's like the water becomes steady. When the water becomes steady, then we can see within. And then atmanivindati, we start relishing happiness within. Kalen, atmanivindati. Now the word kalen is significant. Prabhupada translates that in due course of time. Now, why does he use the word due course of time? Because things happen according to their own course of time. We cannot artificially accelerate things. When a flower is in the bud form, the flower will grow from the bud form to the fully blossomed form in its own course. It's not that if I put more water on it, the flower will grow faster. So, it will take its own time. Nature has its own time. So, we may have an intense desire. I want to become a pure devotee today itself. Today I'll chant 64 rounds and I expect by the time I complete 64 rounds, I'll be a pure devotee. No, it's not going to work like that. Things take time. But, every single Mahamantra that we are chanting, it is purifying us. Every single service that we are rendering, that is purifying us. So, we have to be patient. Because we are caught up in an age of instant things. Instant. Yes, I want this. So, instant tea, instant coffee, instant food, you know, instant control. So, we think that I also want instant spirituality. Instant spirituality means what? Just like I press a button and then the environment is cool, it becomes hot. If it's hot, become cool. So, like that, I think I press a button and immediately my consciousness should become devotional. Consciousness doesn't work like that. It requires purification. It will happen gradually. So, Kalenatmani Vindati. It will take time. But Krishna is assuring that this will definitely happen. And we will start relishing within oneself. So sometimes devotees feel that I have been practicing Krishna consciousness for so long, I am not able to give up my sense gratificatory desires. They're still there. What should I do? And it's not only that they are there, we don't feel like giving them up also. So the thing is, certainly, if those sense gratificatory desires involve breaking the regular principles, you have to be very rigid about doing what is required to give them up. But if they are not directly involved in contravening the regular principles in a gross way, then we should know that we will gradually become purified. We should not become too much problem conscious. So, if I find that I'm eating too much, or I'm doing this too much, I'm doing that too much, it doesn't. We don't have to get too worked up about this. See, as we advance in spiritual life, we'll find that naturally, we'll become satisfied with, we'll find satisfaction in simple things. We'll not need complex things to be satisfied. We'll not need a big show to be satisfied. That'll naturally happen. So, do we have to bother too much about it? No, we have to bother about remembering Krishna. If we keep remembering Krishna and we keep getting connected with Krishna, we'll get a higher satisfaction and over a period of time we'll find. Maybe 3 years ago, if this thing had happened, if somebody had spoken like this to me, I would have got wild. But now, I'm irritated, I'm annoyed, but I've not gone wild. How has this happened? Because our connection with Krishna has given us inner stability. It has given us an inner strength. And in this, we don't get shaken by these things. Same way with respect to pleasures also. So, as devotees, our focus should be on Krishna. Our focus should not be on our shortcomings. We need to be aware of our shortcomings so that we don't unnecessarily provoke those situations in which the shortcomings will catch us and knock us down. So for that purpose, we need to be aware, but we shouldn't be focused on them. Kalena, over a period of time, purification will happen. Sometimes if we just, Bhaktivedanta Thakur would say that you cannot gate crash into the kingdom of God. Gate crash means, sometimes a place, a door is closed, and somebody says, I want to come in. And the door is not closed. So what? The person comes in a big truck. Boom! The truck bangs against the door, breaks the door open and comes inside. That's called gate crashing. So we cannot gate crash into the kingdom of God. That means that we cannot just force our way to ahead in spiritual life. So, this doesn't mean, of course, by no means does this mean that we should just see complacent. Whenever Krishna wants, he'll purify me. Now I feel like sleeping and chanting, let me sleep. Now I don't feel like fasting, I won't fast. Today I don't feel like going to temple, I won't go to temple. When Krishna makes me feel that I should study scripture, then I'll study scripture. Now, we're not talking about that over here. Now, we are talking here about our inner feelings despite our diligent practice of devotional service. We keep practicing devotional service diligently. That is definitely required. But after we practice our devotional service diligently, then after that, what happens? Sometimes we may feel satisfied. Sometimes we may not feel satisfied. Sometimes our mind may be pure. Sometimes it may not be pure. So we shouldn't get too caught up in these things.
we are following the process of purification, and the purification will definitely result over a period of time. At this stage, we just stay steadily committed in the practice of devotional service. And when we do this, gradually the higher taste will start coming in more and more and more. And we start relishing that higher taste. And then other tastes, they will become not so relevant for us. They'll become gradually irrelevant, insignificant, and then non-existent. So irrelevant means not very important for me. Insignificant means not worth attention only. And non-existent means they'll completely go away. So that will happen gradually. So we focus on being Krishna conscious and with faith that Krishna, with the process of Bhakti Yoga, will definitely purify us. Kale Atmani Vindati. So after this glorification of spiritual knowledge, in the next two verses, Krishna will talk about faith. Now how we should have faith and what happens for those who don't have faith. That we'll discuss in our next class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.